Today's Wednesday, August 14th. We're still dying.
We're dying to tell you about some business stories. That's what we're doing. I want to start out with a little bit of a weird one because I just love this story. I've loved the saga all along because when it first happened, I think a lot of people, myself included, were like, that's not going to work. Just really just some napkin math. How could that be? But it shows you how desperate companies get when the world that they thought was the world turned out to not be the world at all.
MoviePass reportedly changed account passwords to prevent users from seeing films. So this is a story, like MoviePass, weren't they supposed to come back online soon?
I think they're done, right? Yeah. Like they've kind of just disappeared.
Oh. A story has come out that the people that were using the crap out of MoviePass would have their passwords changed randomly, and then it's like, oh, I need to log in and get tickets for this movie, and they can't because the company changed their password.
And it would coincide with big releases, and it was only the people who they considered to be abusive of the system. Now, of course, they advertised it as, see a movie every day. It showed some internal discussions where they're like, nobody, who's going to watch a movie every day? Nobody's going to do this. Nobody has that much time.
It turns out, well, there are some people that have that much time.
Not more than a few. And they're the exact people that were like, this is a great deal. So this story is great. It sort of just catalogs MoviePass's ongoing war with its best users and all the things that it tried to do and ultimately failed.
Because, I wonder why they're having trouble financially.
Yeah, it was a crazy business model. But it goes to show you that this is absolutely illegal. But, you know, they do whatever they can. It also said that they would cheat and say that, oh, there's no more showings of this movie that you want to see at this theater. After a certain threshold got hit per day, per movie. Total lie. There were tons of showings available. They weren't sold out.
Just not for that person.
But MoviePass would just lie to you about it.
I don't understand why they couldn't have, like, gamed their own algorithm like that just to be... It's like, okay, if you haven't used it in a while, you get first dibs for the movies. But then if there's nobody left, it's like, all right, you can go watch a movie.
Well, they still have to pay full price of the ticket.
Oh, yeah. So, I guess they don't really have a special deal. Like, there weren't any minimums with the theaters, I guess.
So no matter every time that person hits you, you're losing. And the price, until they changed it, for 1 month of service, didn't even cover one movie.
Wow.
So it's like, wow.
How can you possibly make money?
Yeah. So I guess good riddance, MoviePass. If you got away with it, though, for a while, if you were one of those users, you surely got your money's worth there. That was a great deal for you. Now let's talk about Verizon, and everybody hates Verizon. I wonder why. Why would it be that everybody hates Verizon? And especially when Verizon will screw you as hard as they can until somebody important notices.
Yes.
And then they'll stop.
Verizon demands $880 from a rural library for just 0.44 gig of roaming data. So this rural library allowed patrons to check out hotspots because they're a rural library. A lot of the population where the library is doesn't have internet access. This is a cool example of one of the cool things that libraries can do for a rural community. I grew up in a rural community. The library did a lot for us. You know, it was pretty awesome. But the problem is that this is near the Canadian border. And so they originally got these hotspots as part of a grant or something. And so a larger regional library paid for these. And it went so well that the local library included these in their budget for the following year. And so just because the account changed hands, it apparently reset some preferences on the library's Verizon account, because when the grant was paying for it, there's no way that they could have roamed internationally. And when the small library took over the account, everything was supposed to be the same, but apparently the thing that said no roaming was turned off. So they only used 500 megs, and it cost $880, which seems like robbery.
So as you might imagine, you know, they got on the phone, they were like, oh, hey, Verizon, listen, we're just a little library, and this was a total mistake. The person wasn't even aware that they were using it. It must have been like an app update or something while they were driving. So can we just, you know, waive this and turn that feature off? And they got this response. It's like, we'll not be making the courtesy adjustments for the international data coverage. And it's like, you know, basically screw you, pay me. And then we see 5 hours after this article was published, Verizon was like, oh, that? Why? Don't even worry about that. We would never. Oh, we love libraries. So.
Do you want another firefighter's data throttling on your hands? It's like, this is how you get the firefighter's data throttling story.
But it does point out that if you are somebody who lives near a border, watch where you go with your phone.
Yeah.
Because the data charges can get crazy.
Even if you were previously not on a thing where you could roam, they might let you roam. Although it says that the plan for roaming is only $70 a month. So like if you roam into Canada or whatever, it's only a $70 charge.
Yeah, still though. $70 a month, that's a lot.
That's just a different plan. I mean, they could have gotten a year of that plan. You know, that would have been more reasonable than what Verizon proposed.
Well, I can see how the library, though, just assumed. Because it's one of those stupid things where Verizon's like, oh, we're not offering unlimited XYZ. Now we're unlimited. It's unlimited WXYZ. It's so much better.
Yeah.
Now you got to re-sign a contract and everything. And then somewhere in the fine print, it's like, oh, by the way.
All right, as long as it's exactly the same as it was. Oh, it totally is, except for this thing that we're allowed to do. It's like, what? No.
Speaking of Verizon, a little bit of truth from Verizon. That's a rare thing, right? But mostly because it has to do with the spectrum, right? So there's some dark truths when it comes to the spectrum and how much of the spectrum that your provider owns. And so Verizon might be trying to protect themselves from not having a good portion of one of the aspects of the spectrum.
Ars Technica has the headline, Verizon 5G speeds on low spectrum bands will be more like good 4G. Now, 5G is for all frequencies. You know, don't get us wrong. But it's not going to be that much different than 4G on low bands.
So, what? In other words, when they go into further detail, not Verizon, but Ars Technica, what they refer to as super dense urban areas.
Yeah.
That's going to be your 5G. Every place else, like 90% of the U.S.
4G.
Not so much.
Yeah. Turns out you need a lot of towers, super high density, for 5G to do its thing. Because 5G is inherently lower power, so more towers. And so, you know, of course, all these providers that are so averse to capital expenditure are going to just roll out tons of 5G towers, right?
Yeah, well, like, let's blanket a 50-acre area so we can get 20 customers.
Yeah.
Right, sure. They'll take that money that a Jeep Pie just gave them, throw it right into that, I guarantee. It was a dark week last week, or I guess it was the week before at this point. And I try not to put any stories in about it because it's such a incendiary thing, and you're never going to convince anybody who's already got a decision made about it, about the shootings. But sometimes we get stories that are so ridiculous when it comes to technology that I break my own rule, and this by far is one of them.
Walmart has removed violent game images as pressure mounts on gun sales. So Walmart is hiding video games, but they still sell guns.
They had a great picture. Oh, it's not in this article. Of like empty video game shelf. Yeah. No. So there is... now I'm really, really against blaming the gun. But blaming the video game is as stupid as blaming the gun. Although it is kind of funny and cathartic to see all these moron SJW people on Twitter. It's like who are blame the gun people who are like, I can't believe that you'd be blaming video games. Are you stupid? Have you seen the studies? So it's like, yeah, congratulations. But yeah, Walmart, I think, has not satisfied anybody by doing this.
No.
And angered a lot of people by doing this.
Yeah. I'm really surprised that people are still parroting the whole violent video games, because it's not.
Yeah. Well, you know, the big meme was like, the world was never violent before video games.
Oh, yeah. Well.
Let's talk about Apple. Of course, Apple at the forefront of the anti-right to repair. And really, really hitting hard in the right to repair war. I would say a big victory for them, this one.
Apple is locking batteries to specific iPhones, a nightmare for DIY repair. So yeah, you know, like the home button is locked. It's like, oh, it turns out the circuitry to do this has been there for a long time. They're just now starting to activate it. It's like, oh.
It's not going to stop your phone from operating. The only problem you're going to have is this error screen right here. I don't know how well you can read that, but this and the battery monitoring, the battery health thing that they had to put in after the lawsuit for the planned obsolescence. Those things will not work at all. Even if it's another official Apple battery, if it's replaced somewhere other than the Apple store, you don't get those features because there is a software update that has to be made to marry that new battery to the iPhone.
I think that what's going to happen is there are going to be shady repair shops that use cheap batteries or the wrong kinds of batteries or something, and then it's going to cause a fire, and then Apple is immediately going to seize upon that to be like, look, we have to control what batteries go into the phones because otherwise it's a fire hazard.
The guy they interviewed here who was owned one of the bigger shops that does this kind of thing, he was like, listen, I'm just not going to do it anymore because if a little old lady comes in here and brings me her phone and I give it back to her and it says there's an error with your battery, I cannot explain that to her. She's not going to grasp the anti-right repair argument. Like, I can't. So I'm just not going to do it anymore. They've basically, it's 70% of my business and they've just destroyed it. So
thanks, Apple.
I'd say mission accomplished. Of course, we all know that they admitted in that last conference call or whatever the event they had that the phone battery sales were like the replacements were killing their sales.
Yeah, that was the actual Apple. It was bring your phone in and for $30 we'll replace your battery or something like that.
Yeah,
a lot of people did that, and a lot of people did not buy new phones because there's not a compelling reason to buy new phones.
So it's real hard to imagine this is not an immediate result of that. And an effective one, sadly.
It plays perfectly into our next story, which is fascinating on a number of levels.
Yeah, so you also have to look at the economy. Now, you know, Donald Trump will tell you that it's never been in a better spot. Doubt, you know. And part of the slowdown in phone sales could be that people just don't have the extra cash. So if you're Apple, what can you do about that? You know, look, historically, how do you sell people something in bad economic times?
Goldman Sachs, the bank of the rich and powerful, is dipping into subprime lending with an Apple card. So Apple's got a credit card now, in case you were not aware. And they're giving the Apple credit card to some people that don't have the best credit.
Look how beautiful that card is.
It's just got your name on it.
I like that black glove, too. It really sets it off.
So this is an interesting... This is an interesting situation because Goldman Sachs and Apple are partnering on this. And I don't know this, but I suspect this to be true. The margins are so insane on Apple hardware that if you buy Apple hardware with the Goldman Sachs credit card, it's really not much of a risk to Apple or Goldman Sachs because if, you know, you do something bad or they take a loss on it or whatever, chances are it's like the Rent-A-Centers where you go and you get like you buy a $300 PlayStation and it ends up costing $1,000. It's kind of like that.
Plus they get it back if they can.
Yeah.
And refurb it and sell it again in China.
Yeah. People don't realize what the margin is on Apple products. The hardware is subpar at best. But a lot of people are like, "Oh no, it's the Apple experience," which is really down to software, not the hardware.
The other thing you can do with it, take all that bad debt, package it up, sell it.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Remember that thing that almost destroyed the country? Yeah. So that's why they're sort of harkening back to that subprime thing. And they point out that 660 is generally the minimum credit that they will let you get a small loan, you know, for the, well, what's the cheapest iPhone right now? Is it like 600?
Yeah, it's like 600 or 700. Well, cost, the bill of materials cost is only like $150.
So, well, yeah. These people ain't paying that. But anyway, 660. You know, below that, they're not going to loan you anything. And they pointed out that several people at like 620 and lower were getting these cards. No problem. So.
Apple as a status symbol. Who knew? I mean, they're probably going to make a lot of money on this. But like the one of the example people they have in the article who had terrible credit, you know, he got a $750 credit card. And if he uses that to just buy Apple things, Apple, the amount of money displaced is probably at best half of 750, but if he buys like an iPhone or something like that, he's really only in $150 or $200. So that's a lot of profit.
And you also have to think about the getting iPhones into the hands of a community where it's a status symbol.
Yeah.
And then that breeds, it's like, oh my God, how did you get that? Well, I got this fancy Apple card. Can I get one of those? Probably can. And now you've tapped a market that you never could before.
Yeah. Or, you know, you've broken your iPhone. You don't need to repair it. You can just buy another one. It's like, oh, I can buy that one on credit. Mm. Or another one. Or another one. Or another one. Endlessly.
Oh, when it comes to hardware news, of course, the big one this week was AMD. And the we've got a couple of stories about this, but it's just, it just keeps hammering home. The big story is Intel is screwed.
Intel is so screwed. Anatech has the AMD Rome second generation Epic review, 2x 64 core benchmark. So this is really exciting. I was there at launch day in San Francisco. We have a separate video on that. I live streamed, and they had a lot of partners there. The real news here, though, is not that, I mean, it's available right now. You can buy a server right now today. You can just get out your credit card, your Apple credit card, and, you know, just buy one right now today from Dell or HP or whoever. But the thing is that these have been in the data center for several months. Google and Twitter and HP and Dell and Cray. And, you know, the event was a headline of all these big companies that were not like, we're really excited about Rome. It was literally, we're using Rome right now, today, in our workloads. Even the guys from VMware were there. And that is the biggest news. Yeah, Reuters, you know, Reuters has got the article, AMD lands Google, Twitter, etc. as customers with its newest server chip. The Twitter example they talked about on stage was a significant reduction in the number of servers to handle even more load. So that's power savings, that's physical space in the data center savings, that's heat generation savings. And even if you look at, you know, Intel has said, no, we've got a 56-core chip on the horizon, but it's over 400 watts. So Intel loses pretty big on power as well.
The big, if you break it down to numbers, at the higher end, the higher you go, the more you get advantage over Intel. And then at the highest end, it's something like on par or better processing power at like a 40% savings.
Yeah.
Which is just insane. I mean, who isn't going to do that?
Yeah.
And that was one of the big arguments against AMD. It was like, okay, yeah, you got maybe the retail market, but who cares about that? You know, and the processing centers are still Intel, but, you know, as you see here, companies are catching on. They're like, no, but at 40%, we can afford to switch.
Yeah.
And it's going to save us money. So yeah.
There was a lot of projects where, you know, on the first in Epic, AMD had the core count. And so they had the density. And if your thing scaled really well with core count, you know, it would work. But if you had certain workloads that didn't scale with core count, those workloads, you know, it's kind of like, well, maybe Epic is a good idea, maybe not. But with second gen, basically every workload has an answer. And so it's basically at parity or significantly better performance or significantly better performance and way, way, way more power savings. So, yeah, Intel, man, Intel's going to have to come up with something quick.
Now, this story, great headline from TechRadar when you dig into it. It was one source in Germany, so, but it just does go to show you what a bad time Intel is having and will have.
TechRadar's headline was, AMD's Ryzen 7 3700X is such a hit, it almost outsold Intel's entire CPU range. Yes, this is just one German retailer. We don't know about world stats, but this is about a $320, $330 CPU that is basically toe-to-toe with the Intel 9900K in a lot of scenarios. It's a little slower than the 9900K, but for $300 versus over $500 typically, especially in those European markets, that's a pretty good deal. And you don't need a cooler, and the motherboard's cheaper or about the same price. It's pretty crazy. Also last week was the Flash Media Summit.
Now, if you are looking to take advantage, you're like, okay, I'm convinced it's time to build a new PC with some of that rise in technology. Well, you could also take advantage of this beautiful new form factor.
Toshiba introduces a tiny new NVMe SSD form factor. This is NVMe or XFM Express. And this form factor is designed for dissipating heat. It goes into a metal carrier. It snaps into a metal carrier. And the problem with this is like the size of a micro SD card, but it's a PCI Express by 4 connection all in one package. It is super tiny. So this will be great for portable computers, laptops, probably cameras, a lot of stuff.
It is not designed to hot swap, though, or actually to be in and out on a regular basis, because it does need that heat spreader.
Yeah,
because the thermal factor is the limitation with the PCI Gen 4.
Yeah, it's going to get hot.
The limitation is not the bandwidth anymore. It is thermal. So you might even end up putting some paste on these things, sticking them in there. But it's cool, you know, why not? It is considerably smaller than M.2.
Yeah.
So you can put a lot more.
A little bigger than micro SD, or about the same size as micro SD. So yay for form factor. This will be really good for laptops.
And we talked about the Chinese school children and their AI education. And it seemed like kind of a bright spot, right? And this otherwise bleak Chinese existence that gets painted. Maybe because of the Western media, maybe because there's some truth to it, probably a little of both. But when you're not working with your squirrel AI, what do you do with your time as a Chinese technology student? Well, the news isn't great.
School children in China work overnight to produce Amazon Alexa devices. So these leaked documents show children as young as 16 recruited by Amazon supplier Foxconn to work grueling and illegal hours. Oh, Foxconn, what are you doing?
Now, it's funny that you think that maybe these are the best and the brightest. No. These are the problem children. So this is actually sort of meted out as a punishment for misbehaving in school.
That's cool.
Yeah. But you get the impression that Foxconn is so behind that they're in league with the teachers. Just like, no, we must have this. It's like the U.S. prison system. We must fill X amount of beds no matter what. So you go out there and make up those crimes if you have to, but get the kids in these seats.
Little Timmy was coughing during the exam. You got to go work an 8-hour shift at Amazon.
And if you don't do this, if you opt out of it, then you won't get recommended for college, and it will affect all the rest of your life. The Chinese lifestyle is so dependent on your grades and the score you get on that big test.
And the social media thing.
Yeah, so You can't really say no in some of these situations. Now, Foxconn, when they found out about there, they're like, oh my God, we had no idea. We're definitely going to look into this. But, I mean, those echoes ain't going to make themselves. So, I don't know what's going to happen here. We talk a lot about the streaming world and the constant battle for your streaming dollar. It's getting almost as bad as those stupid cable plans. But this one, I don't know. This one seems pretty good for the money so far.
Disney announces a $13, $12.99 bundle for Disney Plus, Hulu, and ESPN Plus. It's on par or cheaper than the competitors. So I guess if you're into ESPN, this would probably be a pretty good deal. And Hulu's still got a lot of stuff.
So I'm not into ESPN, but in the article they do mention that ESPN Plus is not the same as ESPN. Exactly.
ESPN 8, the Ocho.
So it's kind of like that. You know, there's so many ESPNs that, like SportsCenter, that's the big one, the big show that they have, right?
You don't get that.
Not part of this. Yeah. And Hulu, now, are we sure that this is the non-commercial Hulu, right?
No, you still get commercials with the Hulu.
With this one?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so that kind of sucks. But Disney Plus will be fairly good value, especially if you got kids.
That's what these media companies don't understand. There's no world where you don't get commercials, because that's just so much free money that they can't turn it down.
Yeah.
And yet it's like, you know, I have the internet. I don't need this.
And I never see commercials. I just canceled because I got kind of free Sirius deal for the first 6 months on my truck. And it was like, really, you're going to play commercials to me on these talk channels? And I canceled that. That's that's just too offensive. Loot boxes. Oh, boy, do people love to argue about loot boxes. And it's getting to the point.
How long Walmart bans loot boxes?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, they said Wizards of the Coast, which is Magic the Gathering cards,
yeah.
Right? So is it going to be printed on the pack?
Microsoft, Nintendo, and Sony are going to require loot box odds disclosures. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure that the old Magic the Gathering things actually did have the odds of... it wasn't like for a specific card, but it was like you will have
rare
this many rare and this many whatever.
I think... I don't know if it was printed on it, but it was common knowledge, I think. And you were guaranteed to get one of those in every pack or something like that.
Yeah.
But...
at least one.
That was a wide grouping, right? Because some rares weren't anywhere near as valuable as...
Yeah.
So, but I guess if they print the same number of all of them, it doesn't matter, right?
Right.
Because then it's just odds within odds.
Yeah.
But anyway, a lot of EU countries have started to ban this. And it's interesting because... in those countries, if you can still buy these games, but that's just taken out of it. And it just becomes like this weird system where the game's really grindy, but there's no answer as to why it is. And some people hate it worse. But anyway, probably not the worst thing, right? Now, here's the question. If you are one of these people who, you know, we're claiming to protect with these crazy laws about you're not allowed to spend your money how you want, and you're addicted to gambling or whatever, are these numbers going to mean anything to you?
No.
Are they going to stop you?
No, there's still going to be somebody that immediately on payday is down at the comic book shop buying the entire case of Magic the Gathering cards.
Because, I mean, the Las Vegas casinos have to tell you the odds.
Yeah.
And they're terrible.
And people are like,
man. People are lining up.
I always like, was it the replay when Krista was playing Overwatch? There was a significant number of people on the Twitch chat that were like,
oh, yeah.
You have to open those loot boxes.
They're like, just spend the rest of the stream opening loot boxes. I have to see that. And there are people who do that. Well, like a new hot new game comes out, they'll buy like 500 loot boxes, these big streamers, just sit and open them.
Wow. Seems like that wouldn't even, like, you know, after doing that for an hour or two, it's like, oh, I got a super rare thing, and whatever, next thing.
So... I guess you've never been to the slot machines?
It's literally like, oh, I won again.
I mean, some of them you have to pull the lever, but some of them are literally just... like, so, do you like walking around in cities, but perhaps you're bad at it?
Yeah, I'm terrible at it.
What if you're somebody who's always staring at your phone? And almost running into things and falling into storm drains and things like that.
Oh, I'm constantly.
Well, this is great for you.
Google has launched Live View AR, walking directions for Google Maps. So this is going to run your phone's battery down even faster than regular Google Maps, runs your phone down quite
You'll
fast.
Be, like, especially because walking is going to take a long time usually to get somewhere, so your battery's never going to last. But pretty cool. So it's just going to put, like in a video game, it's going to put the... directions on top of the world. You can still see what's in front of you.
That's nice. That's very nice.
I imagine this is going to be really cool when it comes in a heads-up display in my car.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I won't be driving my car anymore, so...
in the Galaxy, with the Samsung Galaxy phone, which is usually what I've got running around cities, it's shockingly inaccurate just... you know, it thinks that I'm half a street away sometimes, and so it's hard to know. It's like, okay, do I need to go on up, or am I in the right spot?
Yeah. It will be super useful.
This will not help with that.
Well, that's true, because if it's augmenting in the wrong spot, that could actually make it worse.
Yeah, I want the augmented reality to be like, oh, I recognize that building, you're here, and it would be even more accurate than the traditional GPS.
Well, there might be some Google Street View...
shenanigans like for that would be good,
incorporating that, but then things change and then you could get confused.
Now if the API is like looking around using the cameras to be like, all right, I know exactly where you are more accurately than the GPS, that would be cool.
But also that creates a terrifying situation for location tracking.
Yeah, it's like, here you are down to a few inches,
because it just takes a snapshot every once in a while you got your phone out waving it around, and it's like, oh, you were exactly in this spot.
Yeah.
Actually, we've tracked the trajectory of the bullet. You were in the spot. it was you.
Didn't we see that in the NSA? It's like everybody, you know, have a Pokemon alert here. We need a lot of surveillance in this area. And so it's like then the Pokemon are released in that area and everybody's got their phone out.
That would be a What's that TV show that always does the...
Alias?
No, Black Mirror.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be a great Black Mirror. another Google news. Google has this problem with their employees releasing these damning manifestos. And this week, it was the pregnant women.
Google employee alleges discrimination against pregnant women in viral memo. The memo titled, "I'm not returning to Google after maternity leave, and here's why," has been read by more than 10,000 employees at the company. Would it be insensitive for me to say that that was probably pregnancy hormones?
Well, when you read the details, though, I don't think it was necessarily Google, as it was just this one manager.
Yeah.
And this one manager seemed to have it out for this woman in particular for whatever reason.
Well, my read of it was the manager was like, "You're pregnant. I can't count on you for anything now for the next 6 months, so you're just going to have to do drivel." And she was like, "No, I can still, I mean, I'm gonna have a baby at some point, but I'll be useful up to the moment I have a baby," which seems reasonable.
But you do get a little crazy when the, when the bun's cooking.
We'll know soon enough.
We have experienced this, actually. We've seen someone be lost to pregnancy to the great detriment of a project. And it is frustrating. So, I can sort of commiserate with that a little bit. But, I don't think you're going to get around it ever. People aren't going to stop. Be nice if they would. Well, you know those Alexas that those Chinese children built for you? Oh, well, you might have stopped using yours when you found out that other non-American people in warehouses were listening to your conversations. So that's unpleasant, right? Well, there's some good news.
Amazon lets Alexa users disable human voice recording review. Now, I was like, yes, disable human voice recording. That's a review.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's still going to record. Don't think it's not. But for now, we're not going to use those recordings for anything.
So, do you get the feel, like you read this and you look at what Amazon's planning, do you get the feeling that a machine is going to provide a transcript of the recording and that is what's going to be reviewed by other humans to determine if the interaction went according to plan?
That would be an interesting loophole, wouldn't it?
Yeah. That was, like, just the spokesperson from Amazon, that was sort of my impression of what was going to happen here.
I think... this probably should have gone in security, but there was that security story about the translator.
Yeah.
Foreshadowing. That'll be Friday. So, we talked earlier about the Amazon Ring and the police having that cozy relationship. But it turns out that it's not just the police who can work hand in hand with Amazon to accomplish impressive things.
The FBI has zeroed in on delivery drivers working as a team that have been involved in the Amazon theft ring. So, yeah.
This was an amazing story. So, from the headline, you think that these guys were just stealing packages, right? But that's not what was happening here. What was happening was they were... So, Amazon has this program where you can sell things on Amazon... And you can just buy a bunch of something. Actually, people will do this. I think we did a story about that, right? Yeah. Where people just go around the country and it's like, "Here's a deal on toothpaste. I'll have all of it." And then they put it on a crate, ship it to Amazon, and put it on the Amazon store and sell it off. And Amazon takes care of everything else. And they just get a little bit of the profit. So, also useful if you steal things. Who's a better fence than Amazon, right? So, these guys were running everything through a pawn shop.
Wow.
But the twist was they were also delivery drivers for Amazon. So they were like stealing it, shipping it to Amazon, and then delivering it to your home as a stolen good. Amazing. Some cop. So like police departments in larger cities, I guess all cities, have like a pawn shop detail. And they'll go and look at what's been sold to the pawn shop to try to see if anything's stolen. And this guy just happened to notice. He was like, "Wait a minute. This... one guy has sold you like $200,000 worth of stuff this year."
That seems a little excessive.
What's going on here? So they uncovered this huge ring, which is hilarious. That's sad. It's not funny, haha. Funny, sad. Again, you know, the shootings, it's terrible. I hate to dwell on it, but another important technology story comes up when Once again, we are desperate for something to blame. And here's another one.
8chan goes dark after hardware provider discontinues service. So it started with Cloudflare, I think, and then went on to Voxility, their hardware provider?
I think Voxility was first, actually. No, I think Voxility kicked them. Then they went to another provider that didn't ask questions. And then Cloudflare got involved.
Yeah, and then Cloudflare sort of ended it. Cloudflare's statement was that this was a platform that allowed hate to fester, and we don't normally want to get involved because Cloudflare is just a service provider, but they opted to get involved in this case.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where if you don't give people a voice, does it stop something like this? Is there any indication of that?
In doing the research for this story, one of the things said that the last time this happened, a lot of the hate groups didn't actually reform. I think it was Reddit. It was like, did those people go somewhere else? And some of them did, but not a lot of them did not.
Wasn't 8chan a result of the 4chan crackdown?
Yeah.
So, that kind of... it proves that wrong, doesn't it?
Yeah.
In a way, are you not distilling it?
Yeah.
Because you're filtering out all the people who aren't...
the more casual elements.
Yeah, aren't on... You know, they're just there for the anime girls or whatever. And then the next iteration is going to be more and more pure hate as you go.
Mm. Well, that would make law enforcement's job easier because they could keep an eye on fewer people.
I guess, but it could go underground, which I guess doesn't spread it as much, but it could intensify it.
I don't know. I think the mainstream media is spreading a lot of bad things right now.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Mainstream media, it's like there are people that feel as if, you know, I don't know, Walter Cronkite, he's not still on the air, but like the anchors like Walter Cronkite are speaking directly to them. Like,
I don't think anybody like Walter Cronkite is left.
But it's like, yes, sir, I will carry out your orders, sir. It's just like,
but you make a great point, because it's like with the Twitter thing. A lot of those people who they're leaving up on the left on Twitter are literally calling for violence.
Yeah.
And so we are normalizing it in a way.
If Wolf Blitzer demands blood, then by God, Wolf Blitzer is going to have blood. It's like, guys, I know that there's like this ratings quest, but this is maybe not the best way to present the news.
But, it is, because not only do you get ratings by, you know, galvanizing one position and pissing off the other side, but then you create horrible news events, which are amazing for ratings. Right?
That's literally what's happening, and that seems like that's just it's a race to the bottom. I mean, it's totally going to be Mad Max or Max Headroom future with that. I mean, that's just...
I think it's going to be more 1984, because you just give more and more power to the government every time.
We were always at war with the East.
Oh, so let's finally... Oh, no, actually, there are two more stories. Let's talk about Amazon and drones.
Amazon is requesting FAA approval of delivery drones, and the video they have is just ridiculous.
Now, they're not so much saying, can we fly drones? I think they've already basically gotten permission. But they're like, hey, you have a lot of rules in place that really don't make a lot of sense. For example, you have to have full current documentation on how the flight systems operate on board the craft.
No.
With a drone, do we really need that? Do we need to add 2 pounds of paper onto our drone? Probably not. Probably doesn't matter. You also have to have a one-to-one pilot to craft, right? So, like, one pilot can't drive two drones. And they're saying, you know what? These drones are basically autonomous. Can't we just relax that? So it's little rules like that that Amazon is trying to get changed over so that they can start their drone delivery program.
Neat.
Makes sense. They're saying they didn't put this in the proposal, but they are saying after the fact that it's like they're months, not years away from rolling this thing out.
And depending on the type of delivery that's being done, a lot of these could actually be done now by drone, like just dropping off. And you know, just imagine like a big city that has roof access. If you're in like the Salesforce building, You know, like in Seattle, they just deliver all your mail to the roof and then let the salespeople or let the office mail clerk staff deal with it from there.
Well, they had one. I can't remember. I think it was DHL that was working on it, where they had these giant boxes that they just put out in public, and the drone would land on the box and then poop your package into the box, and then it would sort into a lock box. Mm. And you just come and use your app to open it up and get it. And then you could deliver stuff that way, too.
Yeah, that would make a lot of sense. I don't think most people would mind if they had to walk up to a block or two to get their package. If it meant they got it faster.
Put it next to a Walmart.
Oh, yeah. Just go pick it up.
Yeah. And Walmart would love that.
Yeah.
Although Amazon probably wouldn't put it next to a Walmart because they're the enemy. It's like, no, yeah. Put it next to the Home Depot. And our final story is a cautionary tale. And we always talk about be careful when you crowdfund because not only do you not always get what you think you're going to get, but sometimes they alter the plan further.
Pano makes the decision to hold its camera customers hostage behind a paywall. So this is a 108 megapixel camera that
pretty cool.
Takes a 360 degree sphere. And this is apparently the best one on the market. Like, it's about $1,700, give or take. But in order to stitch all the images together from the individual cameras, you need proprietary software, which is no one has ever had a copy of. It exists only on the cloud. And now they're going to charge a little less than a dollar per image to stitch it all together.
That's a pound, right? It wasn't a dollar.
Or a pound,
which is more. Because the pound's...
A little over a dollar than the U.S.
Yeah.
It's like 79 3/4 of a pound.
So you think a dollar a picture? You could print pictures for way less than a dollar a picture. And now you're going to have to pay? That's crazy.
Will open source it. Somebody will do something open source soon.
Well, they do have other balls that do this that aren't as good. And they all have their own software, but none of them are compatible with this. Yeah. I guess because the number of cameras. But, yeah, there is no alternative right now. You can't just download a version of it.
Yeah.
But it also means that what if you're on a metered connection?
Oh, yeah.
So now you're paying data fees and the dollar.
Well, you always had to upload it to the cloud. It's just that it was free previously for Kickstarter people.
So, bad news.
We've altered the deal. Pray we do not alter it any further.
And that's all we got on all those topics. Tomorrow will be security and nonsense. Friday will be security and nonsense.
Woo.
Weird week.
Yeah, it is a super weird week.
See you then.
See ya.